The parsha of the week is Parshat Vayera, and I've given you out two sheets over there. We're going to try our very best to get through them. I'd like to begin with a number of announcements. First of all, two Mazel Tovs to Sarah Roth on her 50th wedding anniversary. A long time. Many, many happy returns. Happy Gesunter returns of that day. And behind you, and well, I hope she never catches up. Like you keep going to 60, she'll keep going to 50, but Sylvia Wallace is celebrating her 40th wedding anniversary. That's Sylvia over there. She is our representative from the Rova. Oh, I'm sorry. Take it back. All right. What else? Well, I had an interesting morning. Now, my wife said, oh, you're going to get this into the show. I don't know how to get it into the show, but just because she said, I left later than I usually leave and had a meeting on the way here and got here 10 minutes early. And she said it was Kvitzat HaDerech. My neighbor upstairs is the Sar Pnim, and I wanted to talk to him about something. So the only time I could get him is as he was going out to his car. It's pretty nice. A Volvo, a white Volvo with curtains. It was a Machaya. So he didn't have time, so I told him, listen, I'll ride with you to your office. My wife will drive behind. And by the time we get to your office, our meeting will be over. And that's exactly, I mean, anybody who's watching this, you understand, here is my wife behind the Sar HaPnim, you know, Samud, not being Shomer Merchak. And then as we get to the office of the Sar HaPnim, car stops, another car stops behind, I jump out of one car, get into another car, and make a getaway and get here 10 minutes early. It's amazing. All of this started after 8:30 this morning. I hope you'll be able to help me. It was about Jerusalem College of Adults. We're adults, by the way. That's what I was talking with the Sar HaPnim about, and he was very impressed, and he wants to help. We've been working on a permanent site of our own for a full-time educational center, and certain problems that have come with it. All right, but Mi'at Hashem, it's all going to work out. He said he wants to help, and if you have the Sar HaPnim on your side, certainly as long as this government is still in office. We don't know how long that is, but that's the way it is. That's it. All right, yes, so we better hurry it up. You're right, that's what I'm concerned about. But if I know these guys, the most solid, the Sarafim is, of course, Eli Swissa from of Shas. They're the most solid party in the country. I'm not worried about... But he's my neighbor, and I've been nice to him. I smile at him, and I say Shabbos, and I, you know. Yeah, we use, well, I'm not so sure about that, but all right. Okay, that's enough. Parshat Va'eda. The fact is that Parshat Va'eda is directly connected to the end of Parshat Shemot. Let's begin reading a number of psukim then. I think we've done this a number of times, but there's always something new. There's always something new. It master the last few psukim of Parshat Shemot. Vayoshev Moshe el Hashem. Moshe returned to God, Vayomer, and he said, Hashem, lama hare'ota la'am hazeh. Why did you do such terrible things to this people? Lama zeh shalachtani. Why did you send me? Here what had happened was that after Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and told him, let my people go, Paro decided that he was going to intensify the enslavement of the Jewish people. If up until then they were given the means with which to make the bricks and the mortar, no more. They're going to have to find the materials themselves, and they're going to have to keep the same amount of bricks or mortar that they had made. They had continued to do it. What it created was such an intensification of Jewish suffering. It's mind-boggling. And here Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't want to go altogether because he felt he was unworthy of being the savior of the Jewish people, now that he comes and he feels that it's because of him, that all of Klal Yisrael is suffering even more than they ever suffered before. So he returns to God and he says, why did you do such terrible things to these people? Lama zeh shalachtani, why did you send me? Umeyoz bati el paro ledabe bishmecho, from the time that I came to Paro to speak in your name. Hey, Lama zeh. He's made things much worse for this people. Vatzelo itzaltat amecho, you haven't saved your people. And we were talking about Moshe speaking in very sharp, strong, demanding terms of God. What did you do? Rabbeinu Shalom, what did you do? Now, the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to speak to Moshe twice. One. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Ata tira, now you're going to see. Et asher e'esel Pharaoh, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Kibiyat hazaka yishalchem, because of the strong hand of God, he will send them out. Ubiyat hazaka yigarshem me'arzo, because of God's strong hand, he will cast them out of the land. The process is beginning. Then we come to the first pasuk in Parashat Va'era. Vayedaber Elokim al Moshe. It's all in the same. It's the same vision. God is appearing. First of all, he tells him, "Now you're going to see." This is it. Everything is changing as of now. And then Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, Elokim spoke to Moshe, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. Means, of course, we have to understand what is the message that God is now giving over to Moshe. So he tells him, Ani Hashem, I'm God. And of course, Rashi points out, Vayedaber Elokim means that Elokim is speaking in tough language to Moshe. He has complaints to Moshe. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never complained. All they heard from me were promises and promises, but they never saw the fulfillment of these promises, and they never complained. And you're complaining, Me'oz Bati El Paro, from the time that I've come to Paro to speak in your name. You've only made things worse for the Jewish people. By the way, I'm just going to throw out a question that and I haven't seen anybody ask it, but me, it bothers, and I don't know, I still have to think about it. It's not the subject of this year. How can Rashi and Chazal, how can they compare Moshe to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? When God made promises to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the fact that they were not fulfilled didn't mean that all of Klal Yisrael was hurt. There was no Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbein was in a completely different position. You sent me, I didn't want to go, and now that I've come, there are millions of people who are suffering on the terrible pain that they had never suffered before, because I came in your name. Now how can you compare into Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? If Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if God would not have kept the promises that he made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and there would be a mass of people who would be suffering, I don't know how Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would have responded. But alright, that I leave for you to think about. I don't have to give you the answers to everything. I certainly can't give you the answers to something that I don't have the answer to, but you can think about it. Vayadaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. Vayero el Avram el Yitzchak el Yaakov, I appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, ve'el Shaddai, with my name, El Shaddai, u'shmi Hashem, but my name, Hashem, lo nodati lehem, I didn't let them know. We're going to come back to these children. In other words, God seems to tell him something that Moshe didn't know. God says to him, Ani Hashem, I am God. Shkayach, he didn't know that before. This is not the first time that God has appeared to Moshe. And then it seems that God's revelations to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were different than the way in which he revealed himself to Moshe. And what does that mean? The Gam Hakimote at Briti Yitar, I made a covenant with them, Latetlan at Eretz Canaan, to give them the land of Canaan, at Eretz Migureim Asher Goroba, the land in which they dwelled. I made promises, but I didn't fulfill them yet. The Gam Anishamati at Nakat Bnei Yisrael, I have also heard the cry of the children of Israel, Hashem Mitzrayim, Ma'avidim Otam, that the Egyptians enslaved them. But as Korat Briti, I remember the covenant that I made. Lochain now, therefore, and moral of Bnei Yisrael, say to the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am God. Here come the famous Arba Lishonot Shel Geula, the four terms of redemption, and corresponding to the four terms of redemption, we drink four cups of wine on the night of Pesach. I'm going to take you out from under the suffering of Egypt. And I will save you from their work. And I will redeem you, Israel, and to your bishvatim gedolim, with an outstretched arm and with great miracles. I will take you unto me as a people, and I will be unto you as a God, and you will know, I am God, your God, who takes you out from under the suffering of Mitzrayim. All right. So what is he saying here in God's second communication to Moshe in the same time that he appears to him? First he tells him Afa Tira, and now he says I am now going to fulfill my promises. So obviously, as it's clear from the Psukim and from the Mefarshim, it's quite clear that we are talking about the way in which God manifests himself in this world, the way in which he appears or he acts. Either he intervenes or he doesn't intervene. God of nature, God beyond nature. This all relates to the names of God. I appear to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name El Shaddai, but now I'm going to appear with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. In order to understand this, you should have two sheets before you. The first sheet has two Rambans on one side and a third Ramban on the other side. And then there's a second sheet. There's a second sheet with the words of Rav Soloveitchik. All right, sheet one. Sheet one is the Ramban. Now, the beginning is always where it says JCA gold. You understand? There are three Rambans. And the fact is that these three Rambans are matched by another number of Rambans throughout Chumash. This is a theme that the Ramban hammers away at time and time again in Torah. And I'm not even sure which one is the key Ramban. It may very well be the one that we're learning right here in Parshat Vayera. So we're going to take... we'll begin with the one in Parshat Vayera and see what the basic thrust of what the Ramban is saying, because this is a fundamental principle of all of Torah. Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe. Lishon Rashi. Rashi says the following. Diber ito mishpat. Why does it say Vayedaber? How does it usually said in Torah? Vayomer Hashem, unless God is communicating a halacha. When God is communicating a halacha, it always says Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Isn't that the usual structure of a pasuk? That is where God is communicating law. When God is speaking to Moshe, it says Vayomer Hashem, and you have that a number of times in last week's sedra. You have it in this week's sedra. But when he's commanding him, or when he is saying something that is harsh, Vayedaber is harsh. So Rashi says the following, Diberi tom mishpat, God spoke judgment with him harshly, al shehit shalomer, because he had been that difficult by saying uledaber, and speaking to God, saying, Lama harei ota la'am hazeh, why did you do such terrible things to this people? Vayomer elav, ani Hashem, so God says to Moshe, I am God, neman l'shalim schar, I can be trusted to pay reward, l'metalchim l'fanai b'tamim, those who go before me completely. And we find that this is the way it's learned in many places. V'eir al Avram, v'eil Shaddai, hiftachtiv harbe haftachot, I made many promises. Ubekulan amarti lehem, and when I made those promises, I said ani El Shaddai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lehem, my name God I did not make known to them. Lo hodati, this is all still the Ramban quoting Rashi. Lo hodati enktiv kan, it does not say over here I did not let them know. Ela lo nodati lehem, I was not known to them. In other words, you cannot read the pasuk here when the second pasuk says Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, my name God was not known to them, you can't translate it was not known to them, because you'll just go through all the psukim of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They heard Hashem and they spoke to Hashem and they knew Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem therefore does not mean they didn't know the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. They knew the name. The only thing is, the full import of the name had not become known to them, because they did not see God express himself as Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yud Kei Vav Kei means the fulfillment of God's promises. They only heard promises and never the fulfillment. So therefore Rashi says, Lo Hodati Enktiv, kind of doesn't say here, I didn't let them know what my name is. They knew what my name is. El Lo Nodati Lehem, I did not become known to them. Shelo Nodati Lehem, Benidat Amitat Sheli, She'olea Nikrosh Mi Hashem, I never became known with that ultimate truth. The reason why I am called Hashem, because I fulfill my promises. Ne'eman, I can be trusted, La'ameit Hadvarim, that things should be true. Sherei Eftachten, because to them I promised, Lo Kiyamtem, I didn't fulfill. Kol Eilu Dibrei Rav. All of these are the words of the Rav, that is Rashi. The year to the Faresh, what he means to explain is, Shadarim Lo Noda Kiyam Avtocha, the fulfillment of the promise was not yet known. Not yet known. V'afal Bi Shadarim Lo Higiyah Hazman, it doesn't mean that God doesn't keep his promises. What it means is, because even the promises that were made to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, God said, time, it will be a few generations down the line. So it doesn't mean that he broke Chas V'Shalom's promises. What it means is simply they did not live to see the fulfillment of the promises. So they knew me as El Shaddai, but they did not know me as Yud Kei Vav Kei. Let's go to line 10. V'achocham, you see there are numbers on the lines? Till late at night, I worked with my pen to count those lines and put those numbers there just to make it easier for you. All right. V'achocham Rabbi Avram Pideish. The Chocham Rabbi Avram is Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, the wise man. Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra, Pidush, he explained, Ki beit be'el Shaddai Moshechet v'shiuro v'eiro el Avram be'el Shaddai u'bishmi Hashem lo notati lehem. Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra says in that pasuk, second pasuk, v'eiro el Avram el Yitzhak el Yaakov be'el Shaddai u'shmi Hashem lo notati lehem, he says that the base of Bekel should also be in the word Ushmi, Ubishmi. The sometimes, very often, for that matter, a word that appears in the first half of a pasuk applies to the second half of the pasuk. There are sometimes letters that appear in one part of a pasuk apply to the second part. It is as though it was written over here, I was known to them, Be'ekel Shaddai, with my name Shaddai. Ubishmi Hashem. And through my name, Hashem, I was not known to them. It doesn't mean they didn't know my name, but the way in which Hashem is expressed was not known to them. V'inyan HaKosov, this is still the Ibn Ezra, HaChocham Ibn Ezra. And though the Ramban very often disagrees with the Ibn Ezra, and sometimes he even disagrees with the Ibn Ezra in a very harsh way, and he sometimes says very, very unkind words about the Ibn Ezra. Over here, of course, the Ramban would immediately be accused of incitement. If you look at somebody the wrong way, it's incitement. So the Ibn Ezra, here he agrees with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra goes on to say, V'inyan HaKatuv, this pasuk means the following, Ki nidel avot b'shem hazeh, God appeared and was seen by the fathers of the patriarchs of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shaddai, which means the following. It means Shehu Menatzeach Ma'arkot Shamayim. A Menatzeach, and I believe what he means over here, a Menatzeach, is a conductor, the one who runs the heavens, the one who makes everything work. shehu menatzeach ma'arachot shamayim v'la'asot imam nisim gedolim shelo nidbatel mehem min haga'olam. Ibn Ezra says, God appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and he performed for them miracles. However, these were miracles where nature was not changed. Within nature, God performed miracles for them. Shalonid batel mehem min hagolam. He did for them great miracles, but the nature of the world was not changed. Biro'ov pada otam mimavet. In famine, time of famine, he redeemed them from death. Ubimulchama miyidei cheret, and in war, from the hands of the sword. But latet lehem osher v'kavod, he gave them wealth and honor, v'chol tova, and all that's good, v'heim k'chol hayyudim shebatorah bebrachot ubeklalot. Whatever God did for Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov is just like all of the promises or the guarantees in Torah, in the list of blessings and curses that appear in Parashat Kitotai, and the ones that appear in Parashat Kitavo. Everything is within nature. If you're going to be good, you'll be fruitful, you'll be wealthy, you'll have health, you'll have rain. And if you won't be good, then all of these things are going to be removed, and all of them are within the confines of nature. Ki lo tovo al adam tovo b'schar mitzvah o ro be'onesh aveder rag b'maseh hanes. If you're going to say that a person is blessed with goodness because he did a mitzvah, or he is punished and suffers because he did an avera, the fact is that that's all a miracle, but it's a miracle within nature. Nothing has changed, or nothing has changed as far as our eyes can perceive, but it's built into nature that yes, there will be blessing and goodness, and God will sustain people and make them grow and develop as reward. And on the other hand, it may very well be that all sorts of suffering may or may not be the result of punishment. Now that's within nature, but that can only happen as a miracle. You know, the tree doesn't know whether somebody sinned or didn't sin, whether to give out fruit or not to give out fruit. The im yunach ha'adam l'tivo olam azalo, if a person would be permitted to live according to his nature or according to his mazel, lo yosifu v'mas of dovav aliyidru v'menu. If there is no hashgacha pratis, if there is no divine providence, if there is no God who works miracles within nature, concealed by nature, then the fact that a person did mitzvahs or transgressed and did averus would make absolutely no difference, none whatsoever. Abul schar kol haTorah, the reward of all of Torah, va'onsha ba'olam hazeh, and the punishment in this world, hakol nisim. As Ezra says, it's all miracles. Reward and punishment is all miracles, but the heim nistodim, they're concealed. We don't see the brilliant flash of light, the splitting of the reds. We don't see any of that. It's all built in, but you should know it's all miracles. All miracles. Yechoshev behem l'roim. It means that whatever happens in this world, the person who sees it thinks that it's minhago shalom. He thinks that whatever is happening is, well, this is nature. This is the way the world is. And you know what? Those events or lack of events are really determined by God as reward or punishment. Here the Ibn Ezra is explaining something very fascinating that many Mefarshim asked about. Torah, from beginning of Bereshis until end of Sefer Devarim, never talks about Olam Haba. Never talks about Tchiyas HaMeisim. Everything that the Torah talks about is the here and now world of nature. everything is connected to nature. So he says the Ibn Ezra, Mipnei Zeh, because of this, Ta'arich HaTorah, the Torah speaks at length, B'Yehudim, that which is destined to happen, B'Olam HaZeh, in this world. V'lo Tiva'er, it does not clarify, Yehudei HaNefesh, what's going to happen with the soul, B'Olam HaNeshamot, in the world of souls. Ki Eile Moftim, Shekineged HaTorah Toladah, the Kiyum HaNefesh, Udveka Be'elukim, Hu Dovaroi B'Toladata, Shehi Tashuv Elukim HaShem Netanah. He says, what happens with the neshama in the world of neshamas? Nothing miraculous about that. That's absolutely natural. Where should a soul, a divine, that comes from the divine, where should it go? It should go back to the divine. Do you know what's the real miracle? The real miracle is the way in which God works within nature. Of all the strange things, wouldn't you have thought just the opposite? It's amazing how things work in this world, says the Ibn Ezra. V'od afarish zeh im gomer Hashem alai, will explain this further if the Moshe will give me the opportunity. V'hinei omar olakim l'Moshe, God says, I appeared to Moshe, said to Moshe, nid eiti la'avot, I appeared to the fathers Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, v'korach yadi, asher ani shodei bo ha'ma'avalot, I appear to them as the one who moves and shakes all of the systems of the world in order to help those who are my chosen one. Abu Bishmi She Yud He, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Asher Bo Nihye Kol Hover Lo Nodati Lehem Livro Lehem Chadashot. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the God who created the world and can do with the world whatever it is, and everything that exists in this world is because of him, which means that he is capable, if he wishes, to suspend all of nature and change things dramatically. That they never saw. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never saw that. But now, beginning of Parashat Vayera, the Rishon tells Moshe, you're going to see things that none of them ever saw before, and most probably will not see it afterwards. You're going to see God acting in his world as Yud Kei Vav Kei. He's going to make miracles and signs in which all of nature is going to be suspended. B'shinui ha-toladot, change of all that happens. V'lachein emor l'vnei Yisrael, therefore I want you to tell the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I want you to tell them, my name is God. V'toti alehem pam acheret Hashem ha-godol, I want them to know this is my name. And not only are they going to know what my name is, they're going to see me appear to them with the full meaning of that name. I'm going to change nature. I'm going to make great miracles and signs. Yes. It means, according to the Ibn Ezra, God is not really censuring Moshe. He's telling him, you should know, up until now, I may have been known as Elohim or as Kael Shaddai, but now I want you to know, you're going to see Aniha, Ani Hashem. Now, the Ramban says, V'tzodku kol divrei Rav Avram b'inyan hazeh. Everything that Rav Avram, the Ibn Ezra, says in this matter, he's right. I think the Ramban is a little careful to say that whatever he says in this matter, because, as I said earlier, he disagrees with him in other matters. Now, I do want to tell you, we're going to talk about miracles, and it's going to be of extreme contemporary significance, and you may think I'm crazy. I'm not. I do want to tell you that I have in front of me, and I'm not going to deal with it, because I don't understand all of it. I have an article here that was given to me by Annette Redkowski, an article called Miracles by Alvin Redkowski. Now, he quotes Dr. Lee Spetner a number of times. Oh, it's the two of them over there, you understand? This is a mutual admiration society. Alvin Ratkowski talks about quantum physics and mathematics. You have to be... I of course, understand it, but I would never be able to give it over to you. That was a little white lie. This is a real, real heavy, heavy article entitled Miracles. He does, at a number of points, sort of... Ramadan and a number of other things, But I just want to tell you that such an article exists, but that's... I just want to give you the background, the Torah background. But they've written great stuff, terrific stuff. All right. Elok shehu kimitnabei ve'eino yodea. The Ramban says about the Ibn Ezra, he's sort of saying prophecy, but he doesn't know. In other words, he said something so good, he doesn't know how good it is. All right. So therefore, Chabad Ibn Ezra says that God's message here to Moshe that is to be transmitted to the Jewish people is, you haven't seen anything yet. Neither have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov seen anything yet. They knew of promises. They knew of a God who works within nature. But wait a minute. That God who works within nature has built in miracles into nature. Reward and punishment are built into it. But you don't see it. You don't see it. He did save them from hunger. He saved them in battle. But these are the kind of things that the one who is watching, the observer, might not necessarily agree that this is a miracle. Well, Avraham was stronger. Avraham had, all sorts of talents by which he was able to make his way through hunger and through famine and through all sorts of other things. But Ebenezer says it's all miracles. But these are concealed miracles. Ramban 2. The Torah lists the members of the family of Yaakov as they go down to Mitzrayim. One part of the family equal 33, the pasuk says. Ubithraton, if you'll add them up, Yaakamotze el shloshim u'shtayim, you only find 32. Who's the 33rd? Elav zu yocheved shenolda b'knisatam la'ir. Yocheved was born as they arrived in Mitzrayim. Bein HaChomot, as they're coming into Mitzrayim, Mazel Tov, Yocheved is born. This is when Yaakov is coming with his children down. Shenema, Pasuk says, Ashiyolta Ota LeLevi b'Mitzrayim. She was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. Leidata b'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, ve'ein horata b'Mitzrayim, but she was not conceived in Mitzrayim. In other words, it means that Levi's wife came down to Mitzrayim pregnant and gave birth in Mitzrayim. Zui shitat rabotenu, this is what our rabbis say. V'Rabbi Avraham Heshiv. Here we have a Ramban who brings Rabbi Avraham. You already know who Rabbi Avraham is. Rabbi Avraham says, this is a wonder. What are you talking about? How can you say that this is Yocheved in Cain? Lama. Here's going to be one of those cases where the Ramban is not going to be terribly happy with the Ibn Ezra. He says, if Yocheved is born when they come to Mitzrayim, so he asks, why doesn't the Torah tell us about this great wonder and this great miracle? Because if she gives birth to, if she is born when they come to Mitzrayim, you know how old she is going to be when Moshe Rabbeinu is born? She's going to be 130 years old. When Moshe now in this week's Sedra stands before Paro, he's 80 years old. It's going to say it here. Jews were a total of 210 years in Mitzrayim. If Moshe is now 80, and Yocheved was born when they came down to Mitzrayim, all you have to do is take 210 and subtract 80. I mean, this is higher mathematics, but I'm capable of doing it. 210 minus 80 equals 130. So the Torah makes a whole tzimis about Sarah, who gave birth when she was 90 years old. Here we're talking about a woman who is 40 years older than her. Nothing is said about it. I mean, if we wouldn't have made this calculation, we wouldn't even have known it. So Rabbi Avraham, Ibn Ezra, wonders about this. How can you say that Yocheved was born when they came down to Mitzrayim?
Tama, Rabbi Avraham, Tama, he asks the question, why doesn't the Torah, why doesn't the Pasuk mention the miracle, the wonder that was done with her? Shehulida Moshe, she gave birth to Moshe. V'hipat me'o shloshim shana, she's 130 years old when she gives birth to Moshe. V'loma hiske div dvar sora shahisa bas tishim, why does the Torah mention Sora, who was only a mere 90 years young when she gave birth to Yitzchak? V'lo daylon uzah hatzar, not only that, he says, that's not bad enough. Some of the poets, the Paitonim, the ones who write the, it's in one of the piyutim for Simchas Torah. Yocheved imiri imi acharai hitnachami vihine hibat matayim v'chamishim shana. In the ballet, Hapiut came up with a number of 250 years. That's how old she was. Don't ask me how they worked it out. But that she was 250 years old when she gave birth to Moshe. So Rabbi Avraham Avinezer says, bad enough that she's 130. But then they even make her 250, and she's giving birth to Moshe. V'chiyachiyah shiloni hoya kar v'kachshonim derech hakodah, according to the Medrash, Achiyah HaShiloni was miyotzei Mitzrayim, he left Egypt. Who was Achiyah HaShiloni? Achiyah HaShiloni is the one who anoints Yerovam ben Nevat to be the king of breakaway Israel. Oh, we're talking about 800 years. I mean, that's how old he was. Or he says, Divrei Yochid, maybe we don't have to pay much attention to the Achiyah HaShiloni question, because that was the word of an individual, but, you know, most probably the rest of the Chum disagree with him. Elu Tvarov, these are the words of Rabbi Avraham Avinezer. V'hinei pen yihye chocham ve'enov, watch how the Ramban deals with him. He calls him, in our Ramban in Ve'era, he called him HaChocham Rabbi Avraham. Now he says, if he thinks he's a wise man in his eyes, well, I have something to say about this. V'hinei pen yihye chocham ve'enov, lest he be wise in his eyes, b'stirat divrei rabotenu. He's contradicting the words of our rabbis. Ani tzarich lanot ala elav. I have to answer to him and say, ki al kolponim yeh bedvar yochevet peleg gadol min hanisim hanistadim shehin yisod ha-Torah. I'm sorry, I have to tell the Ebenezer that you should know. Yocheved is one of the great miracles of Torah, but it's from the concealed miracles, which are the foundation of Torah, and the Ramban is going to explain that. In the third Ramban on the other side of this sheet, don't go there yet, the Ramban says our belief in Nisim Nistadim, in the miracles that are concealed, are a part of nature, is a fundamental principle of Torah. And anybody who doesn't believe that simply has no share in Torah. There are all sorts of things happening, and it's all part of the that whole system of reward and punishment. Ki hi bat Levi atzmo lo mityaches et elav. Because the Ramban says, listen, the fact is Yocheved is the daughter of Levi. No place does it say sort of, you know, she's related to Levi, so maybe it could mean she's a daughter or a granddaughter or a great-granddaughter. She is the daughter of Levi. That's what she was. Kamo Shakatov, as the Pasuk says, Asher Yolda Oto LeLevi B'Mitzrayim, in Divrei Hayom, it says his wife gave birth to her, to Levi B'Mitzrayim. V'Ot Katov, in this week's Sedra, by us, remember this is Ramban and Vayigash, it says, Et Yocheved Dodato Amram married, when they're going to give the list of the families of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it's going to say that Amram married his aunt Yocheved. Because Amram is a son of Levi. Amram ben Levi. Now, who? Kahas is a grandson. Right, he's a grandson. Oh, so he's a... You're right, of course they can't marry. But this is before Matan Torah. Right. So Yocheved is a sister to Gershon, Kohat, and Merari. Who are the children? They're all the children of Levi. Amram, who is the son of God, Tovmiot, is therefore marrying his aunt. And that's what the Pasuk says in this week's Sedra. Yocheved is his aunt. V'hine im noma ki holid ota v'bacharuto k'asher holid kol banav v'haita leidata akad v'detolu v'tzchayim miyad. Even if we're going to say that he gave birth to her when he was young, when he gave birth to all of his children, and her birth took place soon after he came down to Mitzrayim, he nehi beleidat Moshe zekeinami old. When she gives birth to Moshe, she's very old. Kiminyan shomer rabotenu. It either has to be 130, like our rabbi said, or korov lo, or close to it. V'im nomar shenolda lo achas shiftei b'mitzrayim yamim nabim. And if you're going to say that she was born in Mitzrayim, after he had been in Mitzrayim a long time, if he gave birth to her later, the numbers are not important. There are going to be two great miracles. Because if she's born later, then not only Levi is old, and his wife is old. Sheyehu zokin kavron, he's going to be as old as Avram. Asher hizkira katov, the pasuk said about Avram, how ben meyah shana yivolet, is he going to give birth at 100? Uksivin, it says, vadoni zokin, my master is old. V'tiyehi zekeno beledas Moshe, she will it be at least be 73 now. 73 is today. 73 is young. But it's not for childbearing. Not for childbearing. That's all. All right? V'im na'acher od le'datan l'sof yimei Levi, hine yapela gadol mishal Avram. And if she is born toward the end of the life of Levi, then it's going to be even a greater miracle than Avram, because then Levi is going to be 130, who knows what. Aval omar lecha, here he comes to the summation, and this is an important rule that the Ramban tells us. Aval omar lecha davar shehu emet ubarur batorah. I'm going to tell you something that's true and clear in Torah. Ki hanisim hanasim al yedei navi sheyitnabe kein mitchila o malach nigla b'malachut Hashem yaskirei makatov. The only miracles that are mentioned in Tanakh are the miracles that were prophesied in advance. A Navi said it was going to happen, or an angel comes and promises us and says it's going to be. It doesn't mean, therefore, that Sarah's miracle is greater than Yocheved. The difference between Sarah and Yocheved may very well have been 130, she could have been 150. The Goyim can do whatever he wants. The difference is, the only miracles that are mentioned in Torah are those that a prophet has said in advance, prophesied, so that we know that his prophecy is true, or that an angel has determined in advance in the name of God to tell us that God promises and fulfills. But it doesn't therefore mean that there aren't all sorts of other miracles. God works miracles in nature, and they're concealed, and they can happen. Doesn't mean that every miracle that happens is going to be mentioned. The Ramban, this is a much longer Ramban. I didn't give you the rest of the Ramban. The Ramban is going to prove all sorts of people that are living in the days of David that were that we can prove were at Yitziat Mitzrayim. There are all sorts of people. Serach Bat Osher, I don't know how long Serach Bat Osher lives. I mean, there are all sorts of people that live all sorts of lengths of time. But as long as it wasn't prophesied in advance by a prophet, then it's not written in Torah. The Hanatzin Me'elehen, miracles that are done by themselves, so to speak. In other words, without somebody prophesying, no miracle happens by itself. It's because God wills it so. La'azor le'tzadik, to help a tzadik, o la'akrit rosho, to destroy a rosho, lo yaskiru batora b'nevim ulnatim. Zohov roteach, this is molten gold, yutzak b'fi hakocham, poured into the mouth. Hachocham Azeh, this wise man, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Ebenezer. In other words, here it is, that's, you know, we have to keep it balanced. If we learned one Ramban, the Ramban here at the beginning of our Sedra, for Edo, that says that everything, every word that the Ebenezer said he's right, 100%. But then other times, and there's something beautiful about saying, you know, he's not saying molten lead poured into his mouth, molten gold poured into his mouth. Mimasha Heshiv Arabitainu. There are other places where the Ramban disagrees with the rabbis, and he says, you know, you have to wash his mouth out with molten gold. V'lomay yafkidein hakatov kol yisodot haTorah v'nisim nistorim heim. The foundations of all Torah are in these concealed miracles. V'tam haTorah ein bechol inyano rak nisim lo teva uminhag. All of Torah is miracles, not nature or minhag. In other words, wherever Torah, how many times Torah says if you'll be good, such and such will happen, and if you'll be bad, such and such will happen. It's not built into nature. In its natural dimension, that it will rain if we're good, and it won't rain if we're not good. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. All right. And he says it. Shahadei Yudea Torah, the same thing he said earlier. He says, all of the things that are destined by Torah, kulam ototum oftim, they are all signs and miracles. Ki lo yikareit v'yamud beteva, a person will not be cut out or die in nature because habal achat man harayit, because he committed a sexual crime with one of the prohibited women. O ha'ochel chelev or eit chelev. V'lo yiyeh ha'shamayim kebarzel. The heavens are not going to be like metal, b'tivam, by nature, mifnei zaranu b'shana hashvius, because we planted in the Shemitah year. V'chein kol yiyudei haTorah, all that the Torah says is destined, b'tovat ha'hein, v'chol hatzlachat ha'tzadikim b'tzadikatam, v'chol tfilot David Malkeinu, v'chol tfilotenu, all of our prayers are nisim v'niflos. Because what we're asking for in all of our prayers is, listen, Baruch Aleinu Es Hashanah Azot L'Tova, Rebbein Shem, bless this year, V'tein Talumoto L'Rocha Al Pnei Ha'adoma. I mean, what does Tefillah have to do with nature? Will you tell me, if we're talking about nature, which is only nature and not God, so because I prayed to God, so therefore nature is going to be good to us. Obviously, what Torah is saying is that everything, the whole idea of prayer, the whole idea of tefillah, is that we are saying we believe in God's concealed miracles in nature. All right. I may save the Ramban on the other side of the sheet to the end, because I want to make sure that I go through Rav Soloveitchik. Something that I learned many years ago, and of all things I reminded myself late yesterday in the afternoon, and I thought for sure I won't find it, and I underestimated myself, and I think it was a miracle. I was destined to find it. It was one of those nisim nistachim, but I found it. Or I have a feeling that my finding it was a nes nigla. It was a great miracle. I want to go through this this piece of Rav Soloveitchik. It's in one of the shiurim that he said in memory of his father, Rav Meisher Soloveitchik. It's the end of a much, much larger piece, but it's worthwhile going through it. The Chof says there are only two fast days that are similar to Yom Kippur. Tainus Tisha B'Av, the first day of Tisha B'Av, the Tainus Al Hagasham in Be'eretz Yisrael, and a fast for rain in Eretz Yisrael. When according to the Gemara, there were times at which the Sanhedrin would decide on a fast day, and the fact is that there were a series of fast days when there was no rain, when there is atzirat gishamin muchletet, when there's absolutely no rain. Avshe gishamin gamheim mishamshim yisod l'ta'anit regilah. Even though rain itself can also sometimes be reason for a fast, im kishe sakona nishkefet mipat libuyam, v'im kishe machsor v'atzoret novim mehafsakatam o miutam. There are times that rain can be
a disaster if there's too much rain and it's causing terrible destruction, or if the lack of rain or the drought comes as a result of the fact that the rains began and they stopped, or miyutam, there's little rain, kishelo. The Rav says, in other words, there can be a number of phenomena with regard to rain. One is different than them all. In the event that there is simply no rain at all, then the fast day that is established in order to pray for rain is not simply like all other fast days, but it becomes a fast of a completely different, for lack of better use, different nature. What is this kind of fast? Tzorat hester panim v'richuk shchina. Hatovat tanit tzibur gemura kamo yom ha-kippur. When we reach the point that there's just no rain. Just no rain means that God has concealed his face. There is a concealment of God's face. And if there's a concealment of God's face, then we have to fast like we would fast on Yom Kippur. It has the halacha of a tainus tzibur complete in all respects, just like Yom Kippur. He's going to develop this point. B'yom ha-kippurim u'v'tanid v'glal atzirat gisham imuchletet on Yom Kippur, or a fast day because of absolute no rain. Rain is withheld. Sibat ha-ta'anit v'chein kiyuma domim. The reason for the fast and also the function of the fast is the same. V'hem ha-dover ha-meitzar enoch shash ra'avon o'batzoret. Listen to what he's saying. He says what we're concerned about or what worries us is not that there's going to be famine or there will be drought. Kiyim chet v'hester panim. What we are concerned about under those circumstances is that there's been sin and God has concealed his face. U'mitchaninim onu b'snei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we pray before God, shelo yastir ponov mimenu. He should not conceal his face from us. Kishegshomim yardim b'itam, when rain comes down at the proper time, may idim hema, they testify, or chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, God's kindness to Israel. U'bimagbil, and similarly, kisha engishamim, when there's no rain, ha'atzira me'ida, the withholding of rain testifies, al hester panim, God has concealed his face. Lefi hashkafat ha'yahadut ha'yisodit, according to the hashkafa, the fundamental and basic hashkafa of Yahadut HaKadosh Baruch Hu megaleh et ahavato al yedei netinat ha'matar b'ito, God reveals his love by, that's the revelation of his love, by giving rain in its time, that hester panim and the concealment of his face, kishamotor neda legami, when there is no rain. But however, biyachas l'nekudazu, with regard to this point, kayam hevdel yisodi ben eretz yisrael l'chutz laretz, there's a basic and fundamental difference between eretz yisrael and chutz laretz. Shoresh hachiluk, the root of this difference is b'divrei ha-gemara b'ta'anit, the Gemara says in Masechet Ta'anit, eretz yisrael mashka utah HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Eretz Yisrael, God waters Eretz Yisrael himself. The Chol HaOlam Kula Al Yedei Shliach. The rest of the world is only through a messenger. Shenema, Pasuk says, HaNotein Matar Al Pnei HaAretz V'Sholeach Mayim Al Pnei Chutzot. God who gives rain upon the earth V'Sholeach Mayim Al Pnei Chutzot. So Pasuk in Eos, there are two parts to the Pasuk. Notein Matar, he gives Matar, that's God. Where? Al Pnei Haaretz, on Eretz Yisrael, Aretz. There he gives it. V'sholeach, through a shaliach, through a messenger, he sends it to other parts of the world. Al Pnei Chutzot, and maybe Chutzot means open areas, and maybe it means over here, Chutza La'aretz. Outside of Aretz, Chutzola, then it's through a shaliach. Rak be'eretz Yisrael mevatim ha-geshem ve'he'adro gilui ahavau ha-ser panim. Only in Eretz Yisrael does rain or its absence express a revelation of God's love or his concealment. In chutz laretz ein la'tzirat bishamin mashma'ut miyuchedet. The withholding of rain in chutz laretz has no special meaning at all.
me'ezel l'chol tzara. It's just like any other tzara. I mean, there are tzaras here, there are tzaras there. But the lack of rain over here, an absolute lack of rain, that's an indication of something more. It's not only a tzara. It's an expression of a relationship between God and His people. V'hini donit tishar dvarim hamitzidim. In Chutz La'aretz, the lack of rain is there. There's a problem. There's war, and there's illness, and a lot of things. So rain is just another one of the other things. Not so. The presence of rain or its absence in Eretz Yisrael is a direct message from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I mean, this the Rav is saying as a basic and fundamental hashkafa of Yadut, and as a halacha, that those fast days that were established by our rabbis when there was no rain, well, like Yom Kippur, its function is not simply a tzara, to pray about a tzara, but it means there's been sin, and sin has therefore caused the concealment of God's face. Be'etzem, Harei Parsha Arukah, he the Sefer Mishnah, this is a Parsha in Sefer Devar. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Kihad, as Asherat HaBosham Olivishtah, the land that you come there to inherit, located its Mitzrayim, it's not like the land of Egypt, Asher Yitzatim Isham, that you went out of there. Asher Tizra et Zaracha, in Eretz Mitzrayim, you were able to plant your plants, plant your seed, v'hishkita b'rag l'cha k'gan ha'yerek, and you watered it by your feet, just like a vegetable garden. V'ha'aretz Asher Efram Ovrim Isham Olivishtah, but the land that you are crossing over there to inherit, and it's harder with the cold. It's a land of mountains and valleys. Limitar hashamayim tishtemayim. That land drinks water from the rain from heaven. Eretz asher Hashem elokecho doresho tamid. It is the land that God seeks out constantly. Tamid eini Hashem elokecho b'meidei shit hashana v'abacherit shana. God's eyes are in that land from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. The first meidei shit. It says Meidei Shit, it's spelled without an Aleph, and the Gemara says it's Osios Mei Tishrei. In Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, Dei Shit is the Osios. Tishrei and Tishrei, it's decided what will happen. Gimel Devarim Yisodiyim Nuschu V'Parshazu, the Rav says there are three fundamental ideas that are expressed in these few psukim. Aleph. B'mitzrayim yachol ha'ikar la'ashkot et sadeyu. In Mitzrayim, a farmer can water his field. Hanilus ola, the Nile rises. V'yedei hata'alot shachofrim. And because of the canals that they dig, mashkim et ha'sadot, they water the fields. Be'eretz Yisrael, l'umat zot, Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, kol ha'kalkalat l'uyam b'yedidat yishamim. Everything depends on rain. Im ein mata yored, if there's no rain, lashav amal ha'adam, man has worked for nothing. Be'eretz Yisrael ha'adam talui b'kadosh baruch hu b'mida yoteh b'luya la'ayin. In Eretz Yisrael, a person depends on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, is dependent upon the Rebbeinu Shlomo in a measure that is more clearly revealed to the eyes. Af al pi she b'midas luya min ha'ayin ein shum hevdeil, hatlut muchletet b'chol makom. The Rav says, here it is parenthetically, in parentheses, he says, man is always, wherever he is dependent on God. But you see it here. Here you see it, and here you feel it. I don't know, the Jew in Chutz Arts has a feeling that he has, his life is perfectly planned out. He's going to, you know, he's putting money into his pension fund, and he's going to retire at, take early retirement at 55, travel around the world for a year or two, go to his apartment someplace, his condo. Sorry, condo down in. But he has everything figured out. There's a Rabbeinu Shlomo, and I hope and pray that any Jew that has that worked out, it should work out that way. It doesn't always. Because there's a Rabbeinu Shlomo. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't live the illusion. We don't live with the illusion that, you know, we're the masters of our own destiny. We should sense and feel over here that we are completely dependent upon Him. And if we ever thought for a moment that we are not dependent on Him, I'm convinced already. We're absolutely, absolutely dependent upon Him. That's the difference between Mitzrayim, Chutz La'aretz, and Eretz Yisrael. Now remember, this is the Rav in a halachic treatise. This is not a
some kind of Zionist rah-rah-rah. He is telling us what Torah is all about. Zayt. Beretz Yisrael b'nei Adam heim l'tachat hashgachato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish b'li shum emtzayim. In Eretz Yisrael, people are under the divine presence, providence, without any kind of intermediary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmo shelo al yedei shaliach doresh otah u'mashgiach alav the rebation without messenger. No go-between, seeks out that land and takes care of it, as the pasuk says, "Erev Asher Hashem Elokecha Dodesh Otah Tamid Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba." Sorry, can't say it about New York. You just can't say it. Or Boston, or Toronto, it don't make any difference. Three. If the earth is not drinking water from the rains of the heaven, if there is no rain, then we have to understand that the Rebbe Shem has removed his chesed and has concealed his face. And it's a time of tzorah for Yaakov. Hadvarim yiduim b'shem Ramban. The Rav is really, this is known in the name of the Ram. The Rav is really referring to all of these Rambans. You only have three of them on this page. There was probably another 10. Where the Ramban said that all of Torah is Nishin Nistarim. Now the Rav is going to make one more Chiddush. He's going to go with a fascinating, fascinating thing the Rav is going to say. Hayasod HaAcharon. This last principle that we have enunciated, which is that if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael, it's a direct message that God has removed his chesed, that there is a concealment of God's face. That third principle, mitchazek al yedei parshiyot achidot, it is strengthened when you take a look into all other parshas. He's going to make an amazing statement. I never noticed it. Onu motzim shedechol makom u'makom. We find that every place, shehakadosh baruch hu or Moshe mochiach et Yisrael, where God or Moshe chastise and censure the Jewish people, Iyum Atzirat Gishamim Mofia B'Tchilat HaTochacha. Wherever Moshe or God censure the Jewish people, then the withholding of rain is the first thing that is mentioned. Remember, we're talking only about lack of rain in Eretz Yisrael. Lack of rain, Gishamim. L'Netar HaShamayim Tishtamayim. That's what the pasuk says. Kach l'mashal, the parsha of Vayom Shema, the second parsha of Shema, v'atzar tashemayim v'lo yiyamata, the heavens will be closed and there will not be rain. V'adam alo titeni jivulon, therefore the earth is not going to give out its produce. Ulehepa, and the opposite is v'et ratzon. When God will extend to the people the Natati Natar Artsef and Be'italah, will give the rain of your land in its time. The Chain B'Tokach L'Shebe Sefer Torah's Kanim, the same thing we have in the Tokach and the Chukotai. The Shavarti Et Ga'un Uschem, I will break the pride of your strength. The Natati Et Shemechem Barzel, your heavens are going to be like metal that Artsechem Kenekusha, and therefore the earth is going to be like copper. No rain and no produce. L'umat ha-brachot, and what are the brachot over there in Parashat Bukotai? The Natati Gishmechem Be'itam will give you rain in her time. The Natnaha Aretz Yivulon, therefore the land is going to give its produce. The Shuv B'Sefer Mishnah Torah. Again in Mishnah Torah, in Devarim, the brachot u'omer, Yiftach Hashem Lecha Et Otzaro Atov, let God open his great treasure at HaShamayim. You hear what God's great treasure is? We most probably heard these psukim 1,000 times, but there are moments at which it becomes extremely meaningful. Yiftach Hashem Lecha Et Otzaro Atov, God is going to open up His good treasure for you at HaShamayim Lateit Metar Arzecha Be'ito, the heavens to give rain in your land in its time. Ulevarech and to bless it Kol Ma'aseh Yadecha, and to bless all of your handiwork. I have a feeling the Rav doesn't say it clearly, but I have a feeling that the way the Rav explains it, if there is rain, that means that there is chesed. And God's face is not concealed, but he looks at us with a smile.
Therefore, if he's giving rain, then you know what? Then levarech et kol ma'asei yadecha, you can be certain that he will bless everything that you do. One flows from the other. Ubeklalo to only by the curses it says, v'hoyu shamecha asher aroshecha nechoshet v'aretz asher tachtecha bazel. The heaven that is above you is going to be nechoshet, and the earth that beneath you is bazel. It's very interesting. I never noticed these two psukim side by side. The pasuk that was brought before, in one pasuk the heaven was metal and the earth was copper, and the other is precisely the opposite. Never noticed it, and it's just because I'm learning with you, so we're going to have to look up to see. Most probably, there's a rough something on the spot over there, and I don't remember. Yitain Hashem in the Ta'arzicha Avar Va'afam in Hashemayim Yedei Golecha Ad Hisamdach, and then the earth is going to become so dry it's all going to be dust. Last paragraph of the Vav. Gishamim Be'eretz Yisrael, rain in Eretz Yisrael, Mehavim Lodak Tzorech Chiyuni. Rain in Eretz Yisrael is not something that is a life's necessity. It's not only that. I mean, a life's necessity is terribly important, but that's not all that it is. It's a great deal more. Ela semel nifla shel kiruv HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'umato. It is an absolutely miraculous symbol. Semel, a miraculous symbol of God's closeness to His people. At Tzirat Gishamim, when rain is withheld, mahavelorak sakona ayuma likiyumo afizi shel hayishuv. It's not only a terrible and frightening danger to the survival of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, Ela Besura Atzuva. When rain is withheld, it's very, very sad news. Asher HaMesa Shalohu Siluk Shuna VeHestepanim. The message of no rain is the removal of the Divine Presence and the concealment of God's face. He Moda, it teaches, it tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hesir Einav Min Haaretz, that the Rebbeinu has removed his eyes from the earth. Ach Mashma'ut Zu Noda'a L'Gishamim Rak Be'Eretz Yisrael. This significance of rain is only in Eretz Yisrael, nowhere else. B'Chutz La'aretz Einam Ela K'chol Tofa'at Tivit Acheret. In Chutz La'aretz, rain is nothing more than any other natural phenomenon. L'Chein Pasak HaRambam. Therefore the Rambam Paskins, Ki Ein Tainis Tzivur Hadome umagbilo liyom akipurim elazu shemachmas atzivis gishamim gemura hizot dafke Eretz Yisrael. What he's really going back to is to explain the Rambam, and here he tells us what the Rambam says. The Rambam says there's only one Thursday that is really like Yom Kippur, and that Thursday is when there's absolute complete atzirat gishamim, and only in Eretz Yisrael. Because then it's related to chet, it's related to sin, it's related to hester ponim, that God has concealed his face. I mean, this is a terribly, terribly significant statement of the Rav, and it's kulo, of course, emes la amita, and that's the difference between the Shem, God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Yud Kei Vav Kei really represents God acting beyond nature. Elukim and Keil Shaddai mean God acting within nature, but as far as the Ramban is concerned, and the Rambam, and the Evan Ezra, it's all miracles. It's all absolute miracles. The only thing is, there are those miracles that we see clearly before our very eyes, and there are those that we don't see before our very eyes. Unfortunately, we're in a period, I don't know what the halacha would say about the period in which we find ourselves. I'm not sure whether we can say it's atzirat gishamim muchletet and absolute and complete. You know, it's pretty bad, because there were a few weeks ago some heavy rains up in the north. Huh? There were floods. By the way, that's not good either, because the Rav said at the very beginning that floods are also a siva of Sava. But anybody who's been the most important part of the news for the last 2 weeks, and so fascinating, unbelievably fascinating, has been the weather report. It's unbelievable. How many times
have we heard over the last few weeks? Gishamim yatchilu b'tzvon ha'aretz v'yitpashtu l'merkaz ad tzvon ha'negev. I must have heard it 10 times. Even some of the 2 days ago, the weather report said the clouds were here, and just as they came to the coast, they disappeared. They went off in a different direction. It's been, I don't know how many times they said it, and they didn't even know what they're saying. They don't know what they're saying. But the fact is, Mamish, if you watch what's been happening, there's been rain all over, except here. This is a basic fundamental part of, the Ramban says it's a Yesod HaYadot. The fact is, the Rav, he intensifies the words of the Ramban. It's a Yesod HaYadot to believe in Nisim Nisdarim. The Ramban that I didn't learn with you on the other side of the page says, now just read the one line at the end of the Ramban. If you'll take a look quickly, line 33. I made it easier for you on the other side of the page. At the last word in line 33, Umin hanisim hagedolim hamufursamim odem mode banisim hanistorim shehi yisoda Torah kula. The only purpose for all the great miracles that we're going to learn now in Parashat Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, the great revealed miracles, the purpose of them all is, and the Ramban is also explaining why there's no need for God to make such miracles throughout history. The purpose of those great miracles is that from those great miracles we should learn that God acts in nature and that there are concealed miracles, because that's the fundamental principle of Torah. Now look how far the Ramban goes. She'en lo'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, a person does not have a share or a portion in Toras Moshe, at she'namin b'chol d'vareinu m'kureinu she'kulam nisim. That we have to believe in all of our things and everything that happens, it's all nisim, miracles. Ein v'hem teva u'minhago shel olam. There's no such thing as nature or the way the world usually is. Bein v'chabin, bein v'yachid. Regardless of whether it's the community, the yachid, but if you do mitzvahs, you'll succeed. You don't do mitzvahs, you won't. And of course, the Rav is saying that when we're talking about rain or the lack of rain in Eretz Yisrael, direct message from the Rebbeinu. Direct message. We are being sent a message. It should shake us up. What to do about it? I hold that we have to say that tefillah in Shon Esen. We have to say it with such kavana. Aneinu bodei olam b'midas harachamim tein tal umata. Otherwise we're going to be in terrible, terrible shape. What is it is that he's saying? So of course I can list a lot of other people's averis, but that's not helpful at all. So I'm having difficulty, but I'm trying to find some of my own. I imagine if I become a little honest, I will find them. But there's no question about it that we have to feel this and sense this. And I'll tell you, the moment we do, I think we'll feel a little better. And the Rishon says, you know, I'm sure the Malachim in heaven are saying, did you hear that sheer gold sheer this morning at JCA? Did you hear? He's on the right track. He got the message. And not only he got the message, he passed the message over. He passed the message on. It's a direct communication. We're not just talking, you know, this is not Fruma stuff. This is Halacha. This is Rambam. This is the Rambam. This is the Rav. Yesod HaTorah. Yesod HaTorah. Okay. Yehi Ratzon. By the time we get back here next week, I'll tell you, I don't mean Vanu comes before Friday night. Especially if I have a Shalom Zacha this Friday night that I don't want to go to. Let it pour. Okay.